It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montagne, and today in your health, something different. We're going to bring you along on a little experiment designed to help you remember eating good food using some memory science techniques. And we have our food reporter, April Fulton, here to tell us about it. Hi, April.
Hi, Renee. Well, you know, Memorial Day is about memories, so this project we're going to talk about today is designed to enrich the senses and hopefully create lasting memories of food. Now, do you remember the last time you went out to a nice dinner, you had a good celebration, some friends?
Well, a good friend took me out, one of the nicest places near my home in Santa Monica. And we had...
What did you have? Do you remember?
It's funny you should ask. It was fish. Okay, it was cod. The thing I remember best, though, about it was a sort of lovely side dish, pea shoots.
Do you remember what it tasted like, though?
Garlic.
Garlic. Okay, well, that's pretty good.
And I do remember the pea shoot flavor, although it's... can't quite describe it.
That is true. It turns out that we don't really have a good vocabulary to capture the experience of taste, and it's also quite fleeting. Unless you're actually eating it at the moment, it's very hard to describe. So today, we're going to meet Chef Brian Brown of Washington, D.C., who wants to change that. And he's working with this British memory expert, Ed Cook, who's kind of a muse for him that we've hooked them up with.
Sounds interesting. What exactly are they doing?
Well, they are putting together a very unique 12-course dinner with performers, lights, and music, and they're all focused on making the taste of the food memorable.
Yeah, it sounds a little like a circus.
It could be kind of like a circus, but it's very focused on the food. They're doing it in this geodesic dome out in the middle of a field near the River Anacostia in Washington, D.C. And when I heard it was going up, I headed over to check it out. I found Chef Brian Brown in an open field by the Navy Yard.
Hey, what's going on?
Brown's hard to miss. He's tall, athletic, and he's wearing a jacket that can only be described as traffic cone orange.
We're building our geodesic dome, and we're getting up the skeleton structure, and then once we finish this, we put on the skin. Coming down.
This is the first of several visits I make to Chef Brown's dome in the week leading up to opening night. Remember, he's got this ambitious experiment going in taste and memory. If he can pull it off, this extravagant dinner event, he'll have reached a personal goal that began years ago with a special dinner.
It's happened 10 years ago, and I speak about it all the time. Anyone who is willing to listen about this powerful memory of mine.
That memory is when he took his beloved Aunt Michelle to a fancy Manhattan restaurant for her birthday. She was all dressed up. She was in her Sunday best. She had a big hat on, and the place was amazing.
They had a 12-course authentic Roman tasting menu. And the level of meticulousness that they took to our meal, that stuck with me forever.
It was a big deal for both of them.
You know, growing up in East Harlem, we didn't really come from anything. And so I was in a financial place where I could say, hey, Michelle, look what I've done with myself. And so it was that kind of moment for me.
Brian Brown remembers how the waiters glazed the glasses, how they treated his Aunt Michelle, but he cannot, for the life of him, remember the food that he put in his mouth, and that really bothered him. It's something he wants to fix when he puts on his own dinner performance.
Food is a conduit to joy, and if you see it that way, you could use it to your advantage and create these very memorable moments. Okay, here is sort of where the stage will be.
So now he finds himself in this field with a crane, lifting the framework of the dome into place, layer by layer, like a cake.
That's Obama checking it out.
And it's only taken him 2 years of professional cooking to get here. He started working in restaurants around Washington, including one called Minibar, Jose Andres' world-famous hotspot for molecular gastronomy. And that's where Brown fell in love with the chemistry of food. He studied late into the evening after work, learning things like
how to gel,
like turning apple juice into tiny spheres, kind of like caviar,
how to foam,
whipping tiny air bubbles into artichoke juice to garnish a roast. He goes out on his own eventually. He comes up with these elaborate dinner parties at art galleries. He calls them supper clubs.
I feel myself as ultimately a host. I do great parties.
And they're a sold-out success. Now he wants to combine great food and great memories like the one he shared with his Aunt Michelle.
I said to myself, what if I could manufacture for people these very memorable moments.
But how to do it? Enter Ed Cook.
This one, you know, really caught my imagination because it's in some respects ludicrously ambitious.
Cook has a formula for remembering, and he should know. He's an international memory expert. He's the kind of guy who memorizes 16 decks of cards in an hour to win competitions, and who thinks it's fun to recite Paradise Lost to strangers in a park. So we asked him to help Chef Brian Brown make the taste of his food memorable.
What I'm super excited about what Brian's doing is he's really giving the mind all the help which it can be given to pull apart the memories of these tastes, to kind of put them in a sensory context which kind of amplifies and differentiates them, you know, like a glorious sensory panorama.
So how do you create a glorious sensory panorama? Chef Brown wants to do it with actors, lighting, and music. He wants to appeal to all the senses, and he's called it sensorium. But Cook says it'll take more than that to make memories. In fact, it takes three things, he says. First,
make it vivid. You know, if your PIN number is 4197 or something, if you just imagine it as a couple, a 41-year-old married to a 97-year-old, immediately, even if it becomes slightly creepy, it also becomes memorable, and in fact, for just that reason.
Next, Cook says, make the dinner courses distinct from one another.
Because if there isn't a break, two things will kind of merge together in your memory.
And then create a story, a narrative.
A brain loves a narrative, and by having a narrative, you can kind of collect everything together under one roof in some sense. Say, okay, this is the meal of Little Red Riding Hood.
So for the first course, Little Red Riding Hood's walking through the woods. The next course, she meets the wolf, etc., etc. But Brown and the actors think it might sound a bit cliche.
We've purposely stood away from making a narrative of once upon a time.
But Ed Cook pushes back.
This is just the kind of boring memory person or whatever me speaking. But I do want some structure here.
Speaking of structure, by this point, the dome is up.
It's a rainy day today, right? But it's holding up, though.
But there are some problems that nobody anticipated. There's a funky echo. The voices are bouncing off the walls. They've got to fix that. And on top of that, the dome is leaking. That means the sound system and the lights can't go in yet. But the actors have to start rehearsing. In a couple of days, they'll start a grueling schedule of two dinner shows a night, 6 days a week. And Chef Brown, he has to play the bad guy.
I'm not everyone's greatest friend right now. I have the pocketbook string, so I'm the one that has to say no sometimes.
In spite of all the problems, Brian Brown can just picture opening night.
The other night I came out here and I was like, look at what you got yourself into. But at the same time, I was like, look at what you're creating.
And April, I know we're going to hear tomorrow how Chef Brian Brown actually pulls this off. And it sounds pretty ambitious.
Well, it's definitely ambitious. But according to our memory expert, Ed Cook, if he follows the simple rules, he can do it.
Sounds good. Thanks very much.
Thanks.
That's April Fulton from NPR Science Desk. You can find a video of the sensorium dinner and learn how to make your own memory dinner at npr.org.